Everyone that believes that you are a son of God, I want you to stand up again. If you believe that you are a son of God. All right, now, if everyone that believes that the nature of Jesus is in a son of God, I want you to raise your hand. All right, everyone that believes that the nature of Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, I want you to raise your hand. Everyone that believes that that nature in Christ was about His Father's business, I want you to raise your hand. Every one of you that's been about your Father's business, I want you to raise your hand. Come on, folks, what happened to all them hands? You can sit down. There's one thing that I want to say. We've got some good, honest people. Because some raise their hand when I know they're not about their Father's business. I've been watching them. So, you that didn't raise your hand, to your surprise, I want to say that I feel like you're honest. At least you're honest. Some of them that raise their hand, no doubt, are about their Father's business. Very few raise their hand. But I tell you something, being honest about it still is going to take you to heaven. Because you told me that you believe that the nature was the same. You told me that you believe that you had the nature. And you told me you believe that the nature in Christ was about the Father's business. Now I want you to put that together in your mind and then come back and tell me how that you figured it out like that. You said that you wasn't about your Father's business, or that is, you didn't raise your hand. And yet you said that the nature itself, when it was in Jesus, was about the Father's business, and that it was the same yesterday, today, and forever, which indicates that if it was in you, it would be about the Father's business. How many believe that? That puts you in bad shape, don't it, folks? Don't that put you in bad shape? That puts you in bad shape. See, that either means one or two things. That either you've got to be about your Father's business, or you've done misrepresented something to me here tonight. The Bible said all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. And either you've misrepresented something to me, or you are about your Father's business. See, because either you do not have the nature of Jesus, or else you are about your Father's business. I mean, no two ways about it now. You either don't have the nature of Jesus, or either you are about your Father's business. Can't be no other way. Now, the Bible said if you have not His Spirit, you're none of His. And the Bible said that you're partakers of the divine nature of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you are a Christian, then you are partakers of the divine nature of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to read on now. It said, beloved, now are we the sons of God. Not going to be, not trying to be, not hoping for a better day. It says, now, beloved, are we the sons of God. Right now. We are the sons of God. And the way that we got to be sons of God is that we pass from death unto life. So now we are the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure. Isn't that a wonderful thought? The Bible said every man that hath this hope in him, that is the hope of seeing Christ in His appearing, and the hope of being like Him when He appears. The Bible said every man that hath that hope within him purifies himself, even as God Himself or Christ Himself is pure. Now listen. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that He was manifested to take away our sins, and in Him is no sin. It says here, and every man that hath this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. And it says, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. Now, if I ask you to raise your hand, If you believe that you transgress the law, I wonder what kind of response I'd get. If I said everyone raised their hand that believed that they transgressed the law, then I wonder what kind of response that I would get. Notice it now. Somebody says, well, Brother Pike, I sin. I can't help but sin. I believe everybody sins. All right? The Bible said if that's so, then you transgress the law. If you're sinning, then you are a transgressor of the law. Does that make sense now? Everyone that sinneth is a transgressor of the law. Now, says, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. That's what sin is. It is the transgression of the law. Everyone that sinneth transgresseth the law. Now, do you sin? Are you a sinner? Do you sin? My question is, do you sin? You know, folks, we got to get to the right place here to where we can put a difference between sin and between godliness. This is why that I use the terms wishy-washy. There's got to be a stabilized place in God. There's got to be a place of being anchored in God to where you say, God, God, I'm free from sin. I don't sin, God. I'm free from sin. Or either there's got to be a place to where you say, God, I need to be born again because I am a transgressor of the law. Let's read it again now. And it says, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. You know, that don't sound just exactly right. Now look at it. And every man that hath this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. Why did John say that? And then all of a sudden here he comes talking about the transgression of the law. You know, in my mind I would say, well, that don't fit together at all. Seems like you got two subjects, John, and you got them all mixed up. But when you think about it now, it says every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself. What is he talking about, purifying himself? See, what he is saying is that if you purify yourself, then you couldn't be sinning. He is saying that if you have this hope in you, that you purify yourself so you couldn't be sinning. See, if you are pure in heart, the Bible said the pure in heart shall see God. If you are then pure in heart, you couldn't be sinning. Because sin is the transgression of the law. How then could you transgress the law and still be pure in your heart? This is what John is saying. Every man that hath the hope of glory within him, Christ is that hope of glory, and every man that hath the hope of glory in him purifies his heart, even as God is pure. So then you couldn't transgress the law. Let's see if that's what he's saying. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. Listen. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins. Now what is he saying? And ye know that he was manifested to take away the transgression of the law. Isn't that what he's saying? Said, and ye know that he was manifested to take away the transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. That is, and ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, that is to take away the transgression of the law. How did he take away the transgression of the law? The Bible said that he took the law and he folded it up and he laid it away. He took the law out of the way. the keeping of commandments and ordinances out of the way. He folded up the law, laid it away, so that Brother Pike could not transgress it. Today it is not possible for me to transgress the law, because he folded it up. He took it out of the way. For everyone that is a believer, for everyone that is born to the Spirit of God, there is no way that you can transgress the law. Because for your sake, he folded it up, he laid it away, and today I'm free from the transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. No sin at all. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Are you listening? Whosoever abideth in Christ sinneth not. There's not any in between. The ones that abide in Christ sins not. That's why that I don't agree with the things that they do on the television programs. I don't agree with it, because they are sinning. They're transgressing the law. They could not possibly be abiding in Christ. There's no way people could do that and abide in Christ. For Christ is the Word. And the Word says dresses becometh holiness. And the Word tells us that we should adorn ourselves in modest apparel. And the Word tells us that we should have moderation in all the things that we do. And the Word tells us that we should appear to be like the Lord Jesus in our daily words, in our daily appearance. And that when the women adorn themselves, that it shouldn't be the outward adorning of the plaiting of the hair and the wearing of gold and putting on of these kind of things. But they should adorn themselves with shame face and in modest apparel. And that they should adorn themselves in moderation. And the Bible teaches that they should dress as the women of old. And that they should dress as becometh holiness. So it's very obvious that those people are transgressors of the law. Because the law of God teaches the coming of Christ. And the fulfillment of the law was in Christ. And Christ Jesus is saying here that if you abide in me, if you abide in the Word, and my word abide in you, said you can ask what you will and I will do it. So then it's obvious that they are not abiding in Christ. For it said, whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. It said, whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. When a person said, well, I sin, Brother Pike, everybody sins, somebody says. Nobody can live without sin, they say. But nevertheless, it says the person that sins has never seen God. The person that sinneth hath not known God. Now you sin before you ever knew God. You sin before you ever came to God. You didn't know God. And folks, if you're still sinning, you still don't know God. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. That is, whosoever is a real, true, genuine Christian. He does not sin. Whosoever is a real, genuine Christian abideth in Christ. For the Bible said, the seed of God remaineth in me, and I cannot sin because I am born of God. Let's read it and see. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, I'm a Christian. I know that I love God, but every once in a while I sin. How can you say that when the Bible said if you sin, you've never seen him? If you sin, you never seen him. Somebody said, but I've seen him, Brother Pike. I've known him, Brother Pike. I've been born again, Brother Pike. But every once in a while I slip and I sin. See, there is no such thing. There is no such Christian like that. There is no such people like that that are Christians. Are you listening now? Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Jesus said, if you abide in me and my word abide in you, you can ask what you will and I'll do it for you. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Are you listening? It says, whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. That is, he does not sin. Again, somebody says, but Brother Pike, I've been born again, but every once in a while I slip. I backslid on God and I've sinned some, but I still love the Lord. It says, whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him. There's no need to say that you've been born again and you found God and you love God and you're doing the things that God tells you to do and you just slip back and sinned a little bit. There ain't no need of you saying that, because the Bible said if you sin one time, you've never even seen God. You've never known God. If you'd ever seen God, if you'd ever known God, you'd never sinned that one time. You couldn't. Because he that abideth in God sinneth not. And the person that sinneth hath not seen him. Never known him. That's why the Bible said in the day of judgment, they will say, haven't we prophesied in your streets? Haven't we done great mighty things in your name? And he will say unto them, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, for I never knew you. And the Bible said, hath not seen him, neither known him. I never knew you, he said. If you sin, he said, I've never known you. You've never known me. If you sin, you've never seen God. If you've sinned, you've never met God. You don't know God. How then can you say that you are up one day and down another day and you're living for God this day and you're not living for God this day and you're sinning against God this day, but you live for God yesterday, and you're back tomorrow, you're going to live for God. How can you do that? There is no such thing in Christ Jesus. No such thing. You know, that's why I say what I do. From one revival to another, it has been taught down through the years. Somebody said, well, she backslid last year, but since the revival come along, she got back. And sure enough, I noticed, I watched them down through the years. Soon as that revival was over, she backslid again. And next year, she come back to the Lord. And then when that revival was over, she backslid again. And as a consequence of that, I marked those people. And I noticed that after every revival, somehow or another, they backslid. And most of their life was backslid until the next preacher come along in the next revival. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Glory to God. I'm talking about the Word of God. Hallelujah. Somebody said, well, I ain't never heard it like that. Well, it's right anyway. I'm talking about the Word of God now. We're talking about going to heaven, and we're talking about living for God, and we're talking about what God said about it. Let's read a little farther now. Somebody said, well, our preacher didn't say that, and the way I was brought up, it wasn't like that. I know, the preacher I was under didn't say that, and the way I was brought up, it wasn't that way either, but that's the way it is. That's the way the Bible teaches. One day I learned what the Bible said. The Bible said, let every man be a liar, and the word of God be true. I want to say this again now. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. This is why that Brother Pike don't go in for a wishy-washy religion. This is why sometimes you think I'm being arrogant. When I say what I'm saying, some of you that's been wishy-washy and half-hearted and messed around with hippies and all kind of adulterers and fornicators and everything else, when I say something just like that, you come against me. Your mind rises up because you're wishy-washy. You know what's wrong with you? You've never been born again. You don't know anything about God. That's where the problem is. If you knew anything about God, you wouldn't be like that. If you knew anything about God, when I spoke here and I said, them people ain't living right. And I describe and I tell what's going on. You'll say, glory to God, Brother Pike, amen, that's exactly right. Wouldn't be no wishy-washy about it. Somebody said, well, I just can't figure it out, Brother Pike, and I'm afraid to say anything. You can't figure it out because you don't live right. You can't figure it out because you don't pray. You can't figure it out because you don't ever seek God. You don't study your Bible. You don't know anything about God. You spend all your time thinking about self, thinking about family, thinking about money, thinking about prosperity, laughing, talking, joking, buying, selling, going, doing the things of the world. You don't know anything about God. That's why you can't speak up as an authority. A son of God anywhere ought to know about God. A person that's a Christian anytime ought to know about God. All the time they ought to know about God. They ought to be able to tell you in a minute, that quick, what's wrong and what's right. And they ought to have backbone enough to do it. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Like the person the other day, a wishy-washy, in it, out, up and down, don't care, half alive in God sort of a thing. Well, I don't know myself. I can't speak against it. I thought, no, because that devil is trying to get a hold of you right now, wants to justify it because you still want to wallow in the mire. Come on, folks. And they wanted to impress me in such a way that I'd let go and I'd kind of wishy-washy around and half-heartedly say, you know, and wallow around with them in the mire, and after a while we'll all be in the slop. Come on, folks. That's what we called it when I was a little boy, slop. And that's what they wanted. And I just spoke up right quick. When they said, well, I just think, you know, I'm not where I can do that. I said, well, praise God, I am. Hallelujah. They said, I just can't do that. I said, but I can. I'm called to preach. I said, it's of the devil. Hallelujah. I said, it's of the devil. When people paint their faces up like lizards and clowns, it's of the devil. Somebody said, well, that's Sister So-and-so. I know, false Sister So-and-so. Let's tell it like it is now. Somebody said, that's Brother So-and-so. I know, false Brother So-and-so. Amen. The Bible said that we're false brethren. Judases. That's what they are. Devils and demons. Religious devils and demons. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Notice this now. No more in and out. No more up and down. No more half-hearted. No more today for God and for Satan tomorrow. No more. See, the double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Remember? The Bible said, let not that man think that he shall receive anything of God. Somebody said, well, I'm down today and I'm up tomorrow and I sinned today, Brother Pike, and tomorrow I'm going to do better. The Bible said you're double-minded and you haven't received anything from God. You just got a strong hallucination. You've got something that's staring you up and making you think that you're like that. That you got something from God. But brother, you haven't got anything from God. Sister, you haven't got anything from God. You've never known God. You've never seen God. The fact that you're double-minded, the Bible said, let not that man think that he shall receive anything of God. The very fact that you're double-minded proved that you didn't get nothing from God. So I'll read it again now. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Can you say that with me, audience?
Hallelujah.
Whosoever. Say it. When I say it, when I finish say it, you say it. Whosoever. Abideth in him. Sinneth not. Does that sound right? Whosoever sinneth. Hath not seen him, neither known him. Now, why did you tell me that? I see I got you now. Don't you come to me no more saying them kind of things, because you in your own words told me right there. You said, whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. You said that, didn't you? All right. Now, it said, little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous even as he is righteous. Now, is it righteous for you to paint your face like a clown, ladies? I'm going to ask you a question. Every once in a while, I illustrate so that you think a little different. Now, I want you to think now. A lot of times I say things and it don't seem to take. And it don't seem to carry much weight. And you say, that little old thing, Brother Pike, what's wrong with you? Okay. If it's not wrong for you ladies to paint your face, then it shouldn't be wrong for me to paint my face. It shouldn't be wrong for the men to paint their face. Oh, somebody said, that's absurd, Brother Pike. Well, they do it in Hollywood. What would you feel like if I come up tomorrow with a tight skirt on, ripped out on the sides, half down the front, the sleeves jerked out of the blouse, high heels? Come on, folks. And you see me with a little mirror like I saw a woman today. She couldn't drive. She was trying to drive and do this all at the same time. So I just smear a little bit on my lips too, you know. Somebody said, well, that'd be absurd. Well, I think it'd make mine pretty if it'd make yours pretty. See, it'd make mine. You say, well, I'd do it to make mine red. Well, that's what I'd be doing it for, to make mine red. I smear a little bit on my cheeks. Come on, folks. Well, I think that's absurd. Well, I'll let my hair grow out and I'll kick it and pin it up too. Why not? Somebody said, I just think you're being silly. I believe that's what it is. I believe you're being silly. I believe that's what it is. The Bible speaks of silly women, and I believe that's what it is. See, you wouldn't like it, would you? Why, you wouldn't listen to me preach another sermon. If I came up here painting my face up and come up here to try to preach to you, I'd find myself trying to apologize to you for the next year, and you still wouldn't have no confidence in me. And yet some of you paint yours with a regularity and some of you use the little light lipstick. Like somebody said the other day, said, well, I don't think a little light lipstick hurts. Said if you just put on a little bit, you know, if you ain't going to put on enough to see it, I don't see why you're bothering to do it. And if you're going to put on enough to see it, then I don't see why you don't have to put the whole tube on there. What's the difference? It's like I told them, I don't think it's right for you to paint your face and then you to try to evangelize the world and go over and tell them people that they ought to not paint their face over there. The Indians that dance around the totem poles. I don't believe it's right for you to tell them that they're a bunch of heathens over there when they go boom, 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 and rock and rock and, you know, come over here and you go boom, 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 and rock and rock. I don't believe that it's right to tell them that that's a demon spirit over there. And over here you say, this is religion. It's religion, all right. It's a doctrine of the devil. That's the kind of religion it is. It has nothing to do with salvation. Now listen to me. See, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteous is righteous even as he is righteous. Is it righteous for a person to do those things? Is that righteous? Is that following after Christ? Is that following in his steps? Somebody said, well, it's different with the man. I've got long hair, Brother Pike. I know, and a lot of others have too. And they say, well, it was different with Jesus. According to what they said, his hair was down to here too. He had enough, according to what they said. He could have twisted it up, kinked it up, rolled it up, or whatever. Say, well, it's absurd. You're talking about wearing skirts. I don't know. They look like dresses back there when the men wore them. They wore them. They wore them. They looked just like dresses back there. Someone said, well, I don't think that's so bad. I don't either, but if they'd have cut it off up above their knees, I think you'd have thought it was bad. If the Lord had cut his off up above his knees, what would you have thought? Even though you're a hypocrite, you'd still thought that was wrong, wouldn't you? Even though you'll do it, you'd still thought that was wrong. You'd have been happy to have known he'd done it so it could have justified your wretched doings. But you'd have thought it was wrong. And you know what? You think it's wrong when you do it. You know it's wrong. You know it ain't right. You know it ain't right. You know that what you're doing ain't right. You know that it ain't right. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil. Now that's a real preacher right there. He didn't just pamper the thing around, you know, and try to get around to make a point. He said, he that committeth sin is of the devil. You people talking about, well, everybody sins. He said, well, look, don't you believe a person can be a Christian? Don't you believe a person can live without sin? Everybody sins, they say. I'm a good old Baptist. Everybody sins. I've been in the church 20 years. Everybody sins. Methodist, all of them sin. Pentecostal, all of them sins. Are you listening? So then what do we say? All of them's of the devil. Come on, folks. It's either black or white. If every one of them sins, every one of them's of the devil. Whether it's Pentecostal, Baptist, Methodist, Catholic, or whoever it is. I hear Pentecostal people and Baptist people and Methodist people, they take a Jehovah Witness person, you know, and they're ready to choke the life out of them. They take a Catholic person, they're ready to put their foot on them. And they themselves are the devil. Just because you're a Baptist, that don't mean nothing. Methodist, that don't mean nothing. Pentecostal, that don't mean nothing. The Bible said you have a name that you live, but you're dead. It says he that committeth sin is of the devil. It didn't say whether he was Pentecostal, a Baptist, a Methodist, or Catholic, whatever it is. He said if he sins, he's of the devil. The next time your preacher tells you or anybody else tells you that a person that's a Christian sins, you just say, look here, there ain't no such thing as a sinning Christian. If a person sins, they're of the devil. If he says, well, I sin, say, well, you're of the devil. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. I want you to say something with me now. You say this behind me. He that committeth sin is of the devil. You know what you said? We better say that one again. Whosoever committed sin. You ain't going to say it, are you? No, you ain't, you hypocrite. Let's say it again. Whosoever committed sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. Let's say this one now. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. For his seed, that is Christ, remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Isn't that beautiful? In this the children of God are manifested, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. And I say this again, folks, because it's not just to you, but it goes out to many listening ears. All right. Now, we could go on and go on talking about this. It says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits where they are of God, because many false prophets are going out into the world. Now, I'm not going to take a lot of time tonight. I had a vision the other night, and I believe the Lord was showing me something concerning the church. But anyway, I just want to bring out these things now. I say these things to you, and I kind of holler at you once in a while. But I want you to know, folks, what the Bible says. I want you to know. I want you to repeat it in your... The Bible teaches that Christ is the high priest of your confession. It's what you confess. That's what you are. See, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the lips confession is made unto salvation. It's what you confess. Now you confess to me these things. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not, whosoever sinneth hath not seen him and neither known him. Now is that clear? See, the man that sins has never known God. Don't ever let anyone tell you that they can sin and still be a Christian. Don't ever let anybody tell you that a Christian sins. When a person sins, they've never known God. See, they've never seen God. So, remember this. That if you are born of God, you don't sin. You don't sin. Because see, you couldn't sin. If you're born of God, you couldn't sin. You say, why, Brother Pike? Well, first of all, the seed of God remains in you. You can't sin because you're born of God. But then secondarily, if you're born of God, you couldn't sin. Because the Bible said if a man sins, he's never seen God. So if you've seen God, how could you sin? It says you've never known God. If you've known God, how could you sin? So you say, I've been born again. Doesn't that mean that you've known God? Then how can you say you've sinned when the Bible emphatically states that if you've known God, you can sin? Isn't that what it says? Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Isn't that right? So that means if you've known him and seen him, you couldn't sin. It bears it out right here because it said, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. Goes on to say, for he cannot sin. He cannot sin. Now isn't that real clear? It's real clear. So then, when people leave and people go away and people go out into the world, the Bible said if they had have been of us, they no doubt would have continued with us. But they went out from us that it might be made manifest that they were not of us. They never was of us. Isn't that right? Why did Judas go out? Why did he do that? Because he never was of us. Somebody says, but I got you, Brother Pike. I know, Brother Pike. You remember how Peter cursed. Now there was one of your disciples right there, Brother Pike. Now what are you going to do with that? He cursed and denied that he ever knew the Lord. Now what you going to do, Brother Pike? I'm going to do exactly what the Bible tells me to do. And it tells me that I should preach the word. And the word said that Jesus turned to him and said, Peter, what you need to do is go get converted. Come on, folks. Amen. Said, when you're converted, then you can come back and do what you need to do. Isn't that what he told him? Christ had never died for the remission of sin. His blood had never been shed for the remission of sin. The law had never been folded up, taken away. Isn't that right? Amen. Peter had never been filled with the Holy Ghost because it had not yet been given. Isn't that right? Somebody said John was filled with the Holy Ghost. I know, but he didn't receive the gift of the Holy Ghost because it had not yet been given. When it was given, it meant the gift of the Holy Ghost. They were filled with it in the Old Testament. When I say filled with it, I mean receive the gift of it. So then Peter had never had his born again experience. That's what it was, folks. He had never had his born again experience, and that's why. Somebody said, Brother Pike, you mean Jesus was with him all the time, and that was the case? Well, he cursed. He acted up. He'd done the things that he shouldn't have done. Isn't that right? And Jesus said, when thou art converted, Peter. And the Bible said, when you convert a person, you save a soul from hell. Look at it any way you want to. Somebody said, but how could they do those things, Brother Pye? Just like Adam and Eve was in the paradise of God as long as the presence of God was with them. What it made plain over there when they said, why is it that John's disciples fast often, yours don't fast? He said, how can they fast as long as the bridegroom's with them? They didn't need to fast. They didn't need to get converted. They didn't need nothing. As long as he was with them and his grace was over them and his blood or his bodily presence was there with them, they were all right. Wasn't no demons going to mess around. He said, well, it messed around with Peter, I know, but the Bible said he was falling afar off. That's what happened to him. When you get to falling afar off, there's something wrong with you. So then, when a man is born of God, when a man is born of God, he cannot sin. God has not given us the spirit of error. You cannot sin when you're born of God. You may stagger, you may stumble, you may make mistakes. But to you it is counted a trespass. It is not counted a sin. It is counted a trespass. And we pray to God, Father, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. You can trespass against God. You can trespass against the things of God. Even after Peter's conversion, he trespassed because he was getting in error when Paul blamed him to his face. But you don't see Peter cursing and acting up. You don't see him fighting with Paul. You understand what I'm saying? So then you may make a mistake. You may stumble. You may stagger. You may get beside yourself. But not to the extent that you're going to indulge in sin and get back into the things of the world. It's like my daughter was telling me, Gracie said she had a vision about a certain man that left us a few days back. He and his wife held a position here. She said, and he came back crying, said he was just crying and pleading for me to forgive him. And was telling me what a mistake he made. As I saw him the other night in a similar manner. Also I saw him. Bill York, I don't know what it had to do with, but Bill was back. I also saw two other people, Brother Carnes and Sister Sally. They were back. They were off in the distance and wouldn't come up right where I was at. And, of course, the next day, about 2 days later, I did see her. I didn't even recognize Sister Sally. She was sitting in a truck out there. I didn't even recognize her. But anyway, they came up. See, people that love God can't sin, folks. Now, I want you to understand this. I'm going to close now. But I want you to understand this. People that love God, that are born again, can't sin. Don't you ever tell anybody that a Christian sins. Don't you never let anybody tell you that a Christian sins. If you've ever seen God, you can't sin. If you've ever known Him, you can't sin. And if you do sin, then just confess that you've never seen Him or known Him, because if you tell somebody that you've seen Him or known Him, you're a liar. He that sins is of the devil. When people tell you that they know this person sinned and this person sinned, but they love the Lord, say, look, I don't mean to dispute with you. There might be a good person that you're speaking of, and they might have stumbled and staggered into something. But if they are a Christian, God kept them, and they did not sin. If they just indulged in wrong and got out there, then they sinned, and they've never known God, never seen Him, and they're of the devil. And they need to be born again. If there's any hope for them to be born. You love the Lord?
Hallelujah.
How can a person sin, Brother Pike, how can a person sin and still get to God? I wish we had time to go into those things tonight. But let me briefly say this. First of all, by foreknowledge, you're elect, and this was given to you in Christ before the world ever was. Before the world ever was, it was given to you in Christ to keep you from sin, that you might not sin, that you might be His. And them that to whom it was not given, then Paul said, let their blood be upon their own head. He shook his raiment. As many as were ordained unto eternal life believe. The others, they went their way. Because they sinned, they were of the devil. There was no way for them to be saved. So then, if you are sinning in what you call sin, it is those that have never known God. They've never seen God. And God has made an allowance by the blood for them while we were yet in our sins. He saved us from our sins. And when you come to know God, and then you go back into sin, you've not really known God. All you've done is come into the presence of God and the rain on the just and the unjust. You've tasted of the heavenly gift, been made partakers of the Holy Ghost to the extent of the grace and the Spirit being poured out upon the unjust and the rain upon the tarry. You've been partakers. But then when you go back, you have forfeited your right to the eternal gospel. And the Bible said there's nothing but a fearful looking forward to of the fiery indignation of God that shall devour his adversaries. For after you once come to the knowledge of truth, and then you turn away, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. That is to say, the sacrifice for sin was while you were in your ignorance. And if you come to the things of God and you go back out into sin, it means that you are of the devil. It means that you tasted of these things, but you never did get born again. You never did know God. You never did come to see God. All you did was just get in the rain and got in the presence of the brethren and sisters, and you was a false brethren, a false brother like Judas, or a false sister like some of them that the Bible speaks of. And the love of the world was in you all the time, and you was looking back into Egypt all the time. And when you got your chance, you went back into Egypt, and you leaned upon the arm of flesh, and the love of the world was there, and you went right back to the love of the world, because you never did really get out of the world. Them that come out of Egypt, they never really got Egypt out of them. And when they got their chance, they went right back to Egypt in their hearts. And as I tell you one more time, they didn't get into Canaan. Somebody said, well, they repented and they got in. They didn't get into Canaan. God let the earth swallow up every one of them, and only their children got into Canaan. Not one of them got into Canaan. Joshua and Caleb, you say, well, they got in. The Bible said they were of another spirit. Let's everybody stand together. That's why they got into Canaan. The Bible said they were of another spirit. All the rest of them died in the wilderness. So then he that is born of God cannot sin. The seed of God remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. I want to remind you again, it didn't just say that he would not sin. It says he cannot sin. Would somebody like to explain to me what cannot means? Would you say that means there's no way to do it? Or maybe you've got another interpretation you'd like to give me. The interpretation I get of it, the understanding I get of God, if Michael comes to me and I say, Michael, turn yourself into a giraffe. Michael would say, Brother Pike, I cannot turn myself into a giraffe. Now, what would that mean? That would mean that he couldn't do it. Isn't that right? The Bible says, I look at Michael and I say, Michael, go sin. And Michael says, I'm a son of God, Brother Pike. I cannot be a sinner and be a son of God. I cannot sin, Brother Pike, because I am a son of God. Now, does that make sense? If he cannot turn himself into a giraffe because he is a man, then how can he turn himself into a devil when he's the son of God? It's the same principles. It's the same principles. If you are a son of God, John said, now, beloved, you are the sons of God. And having this hope in you, purify. You purify yourself as he is pure. So don't worry about sinning. Get your mind off of that. Quit worrying about sinning. You know, that's one thing about the Jews. They didn't worry about sinning. They didn't worry about sinning. They believed they were God's chosen people. Don't we believe that we're God's chosen people? If God giving some kind of commandments to Moses made them a chosen people just because he called them out of Egypt, how much more does the blood of Christ cleanse us? The Bible said if the blood of bulls and goats could do that and give a people a confidence like that, how much more should the blood of Jesus as to the atonement give us confidence toward Christ? For he died to take away our sins. Michael, do you believe God died to take away your sins? You know what? It's like David performing that marriage the other night over on St. George Island. We perform a marriage, and I say, Brother Taylor, do you take Sister Linda to be your wife? He says, yes. Sister Linda, do you take Brother Taylor to be your husband? He says, yes. I say, there it is right there, your man and wife. From now on, long as you live, don't let nobody mess with it. And we accept that, folks. And that's just a man's word. Well, we accept that. Isn't that right? Oh, he said, it's God's word. No, it was my word. I said, Brother Taylor, Sister Linda. How much more should we accept the word of God when the Bible said it's not the preacher, but it's God speaking to you? And this is God's word. This is God's mind. And it says that you cannot sin. How much more should we believe than that we cannot sin? He said, but I'm afraid to believe like that. Well, you ought to be afraid to believe anything else. Faith cometh by the hearing of the word of God. Somebody said, it makes me nervous to say, you know, think I can't sin, to say I can't sin, but it scares me. It ought to scare you to feel the other way. It ought to scare you to cut across the word of God. If God said you cannot sin, then you need to take his word for it. If Jesus died to take away your sins, you ought to say, praise God, my sins are gone. Like we sang the song, my sins are gone. They're underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary. As far removed from as darkness is from dawn. They're in the sea of God's forgetfulness. That's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone. They're underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary. As far removed as darkness is from dawn. In the sea of God's forgetfulness, good enough for me, praise God, my sins are gone. You love the Lord? My sins are gone. My sins are gone. Can you raise it up just a little bit and let's sing that again? My sins are gone. There underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary, as far removed as darkness is from dawn, in the sea of God's forgetfulness, good enough for me, praise God, my sins are gone. Sing it again. There underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary, as far removed as darkness is from dawn, in the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me, praise God, my sins are gone. There underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary, far removed as darkness is from dawn, in the sea of God's forgetfulness, it's good enough for me, praise God. I want to sing it again now. There underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary, far removed as darkness is from dawn, in the sea of God's forgetfulness, good enough for me, praise God, my sins are gone. Hallelujah. Isn't that a wonderful thought? My sins are gone. My sins are gone. We're going to sing it one more time now. There underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary, far removed as darkness is from dawn, in the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me, praise God, my sins are gone. Let's give the Lord a hand. You say, why do you want to give the Lord a hand? Because my sins are gone. He died to take away my sins. He was manifested to take away my sins, and that makes me happy. Because my sins are gone. How do you believe your sins are gone? You really believe your sins are gone? Well, let's don't take them around no more. Let's don't take them around no more. Somebody said, well, what am I going to do, Brother Pike, when I sin? Get born again, because you never seen him alone. If your sins are gone, somebody said, well, I'm afraid I ain't going to make it to heaven, Brother Pike. I get nervous about this thing. Well, all you got to do is get born again, your sins will be gone. And then you'll know you're going to heaven. Somebody said, well, you can't know that. The Bible said we know that we pass from death unto life. Cause there underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary, as far removed as darkness is from dawn, in the sea of God's forgetfulness, it's good enough for me, praise God. My sins are gone. One more time. There underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary, as far removed as darkness is from dawn, in the sea of God's forgetfulness, good enough for me, praise God, my sins are gone. Somebody say hallelujah. If you know your sins are gone, now how could you feel that you may not get to heaven? Somebody said, well, I got that leery feeling. Well, the altar is open right now. It's a time for you to get born again and get rid of that leery feeling. Isn't that right? The Bible said, hold fast your faith until the end. Don't cast away your faith, which hath great recompense of reward. I want to see your hand if you really genuinely believe that your sins are gone. Not that people's sins are gone, but that your sins are gone. All right. If you really believe that, everything's all right. Let's sing that little chorus. Everything's gonna be all right. Everything's gonna be all right. Since Jesus came and saved your soul, everything's gonna be all right. Everything's gonna be all right, everything's gonna be all right. Since Jesus came, saved your soul, everything's gonna be all right. Somebody says, Brother Pike, God saved me. I know God saved me, somebody said. I know that God saved me. 2 weeks later, they said, Brother Pike, I blowed it. I said, what do you mean? Well, I've lost out with God. And what I can't put together is, when was you saved and what was you saved from? Now, I want you to tell me, when was you saved and what was you saved from? The 2 weeks that you were saved or the 2 years that you were saved, what was you saved from? I don't remember nothing in there that you saved from because nothing didn't happen. Are you listening to me? Did you know that when a person gets saved, that means they are saved from the lake of fire. They are saved from hell and they can't never go there. And if they're going to go there, they never was saved. Don't tell anybody that you're saved because there never was nothing you were saved from. All in 2 years, 3 years, somebody said, well, I'm saved from hell. How could you have been saved from hell? You never did go to hell. During that time, you wasn't going to hell. Or somebody said, well, if I'd have died, I wouldn't have went to hell. You'd have went to hell just as much then as you would go to hell later if you died. Because if you sin later, you've never known him or seen him. You didn't have nothing to start with. You'd have went to heaven. You'd just having a hallucination or some thing that you thought was salvation or some wild notion. That's all you got. You didn't have a thing. If you'd have been with us, you would have continued with us. but you went out from us. Somebody said, well, that was just to let you know I'd backslid. No, it said to let them know that you were not of us. Said if you'd been of us, you no doubt would have what? When you're of God, you'll continue with God. You no doubt will continue with God. And if you go out from God, that proves that you didn't have nothing. Somebody said, you'll discourage me, Brother Pike, and cause me to lose what I have got. I can't cause you to lose nothing. You ain't got nothing to lose. Some of you don't like that. Let's give the Lord another hand. Hallelujah. All right. So then if you've got the goods, you'll stay with us. It's like Jim Baker. He's got what he calls lifetime partners. If you got God, you'll be a lifetime partner. All right, let's sing another little chorus together. I want to get it in your mind that you've been born again and you've been saved from your sins, and there is no sin in your life, and you don't sin, and you can't sin, and you won't sin, and that you are already passed from death unto life, and that you've already been translated into the kingdom of God, and in that you're already in the kingdom of God, you ain't going to come out of the kingdom of God to do nothing on the outside to sin and run back into it. When you got into it, that was it. And if you're running around doing the things of the world, it means you never did get into it. Because when you get into it, you won't come out of it. And there ain't no sin there. We're hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received, until we get ready to sin again or come back out. You know it don't read like that. It says, until the day of restoration or the restoring of all things. When you're hid with Christ in God, that means you're sealed unto the day of the redemption of the body, and the evil one toucheth you not. Never. You can't sin. You keep yourself by the hope within you that purifies you and the seed that keeps you from sinning. It remaineth in you. All right, let's sing another little chorus, and the altars are open. Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul. Sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. For my rest it is complete while I sit at your feet. Oh, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. Sing it with me, folks. For I have anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. Though the tempest may sweep over the wild storm indeed, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. I don't say that them people ain't believers. You know, them people, it's all painted up. They're believers. But I tell you again, the Bible said if you believe there's one God, you do well. The devil believes also and trembles. I don't say they're not believers. But folks, if they were sanctified people that were Christians, that had faith in God, true believers in Christ, they wouldn't do like that. They wouldn't do like that. Sometimes a little babe gets trapped in those things. Sometimes a person that's immature, they get trapped in those things. Sometimes they trespass against God. You say, why is it a trespass? Because they didn't know no better. They didn't know no better. And that's a trespass. If they'd have known better and jumped out there in the mire, then they'd been a... Just like the old sow, she goes back to her wallowing in the mire. Be like the dog lapping his vomit. For as the proverb, the true proverb, for as it is written, the sow, after that she has been washed, will go back to her wallowing in the mire. And the dog will return to his vomit. Which means that they do come into the rain, on the unjust, and they do get washed. And it is a true fact that they do get cleaned up. They do taste of these heavenly things, but they go back to their vomit. They go back to their wallowing in the mire. And if a person knows better and goes out there to that, then that means that that's what they are. They've got that old sour nature. But a person that loves God, if they don't know any better, they're growing. We're all growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. See, and you might not know any better. You might stumble into those things. That might have been the people that you were brought up with, and you don't know any better. You know, and you like the prodigal. But when you come to your senses, you'll get away from the hog pen. You'll get over near the Father's house. You'll get away from the hog pen. You say, Brother Pike, what are you calling a hog pen? This world is a hog pen. Come on, folks. If you've got the love of the world in you, that means you've got the love of the husk. That means that you are a hog. Yeah, I know some of you don't like my old-fashioned way of saying things. But it's one thing for sure. You understand it, don't you? You understand it. You don't have to have a professor to define the words and break it down so you know what I'm saying. I said, this world is a hog walla. You say, I don't believe that. Yeah, they got a place over in the Carolinas, they call it hog waller, is it? Where they go get married? Wahala. Wahala. That's okay, Wahala. Anyway, I don't know what that means, Wahala. But anyway, this world is a hog waller. Jesus referred to the people of this world as being pigs. He said they're swine, they're dogs. Anybody want to dispute that? That's what he called them. And said Satan was the prince of this hogwalla. Said he's the prince of this world. He's the one that made it a hogwalla. This world is a hogwalla. And if you got the love of the world in you, you're the old sow. You're the dog that wallers in his vomit. He called them dogs and pigs. I used to see my dog when I was a little boy. He'd bite at that old sow, and she'd grunt and dance around and jump and bite back at him and root him with the nose. And when he got through, he was just as muddy as she was. Yeah, if he kept on messing around with her, he'd slip down in the mire too. So I said that to say this. If you love the world and you want to live in the world and you want to stay in the world is a hog pen. And if you want to stay in it, that's your business. But a real son of God, a real daughter of God will come out of that hog pen. They'll come to the Father's house. They'll get away from that. They won't mess with the world because they don't have an old sound nature. They don't have an old dog nature. They have a son of God nature. They're Christians. They're holy folks. You see people run, slipping around on the ball teams with their pig skin, as they call it, their football. They wallow. Watch them like the old sow. They'll waller in the mud. They'll get out there and slip and slide and wallow. When they go to their little parties, the old dogs will get together and they'll bubble in the beer and they'll vomit. I've been around them when I was a kid. I'm telling you the truth. I've told how that on one occasion these people got me. I was just a little teenage boy. And they said, you got to play the guitar and sing. And we're going to feed you chicken. They got me up there at their house. And the women folk were gone. And here these men was about half drunk. And one had flour everywhere on him and in his hands and everywhere. And he was going through the house throwing it, you know, and drinking and a dancing a little jig and the way drunk folks do, you know. Everything that went along with it. And I was supposed to play the guitar and sing while they cooked me chicken. But I'll tell you what. Folks, I didn't want no chicken. I didn't want no chicken. To them, it was just delicious. And that's the way it is out there. I thank God. I'm fortunate. Don't make me no better than nobody because I didn't drink. But I never did drink. Down on the river one night,
Some boys finally talked my dad into letting me go down there with them so I could fish that night. Dad knew best, but I talked him into it. Worked on a job in a cotton mill, got a break. Got down there, and they sat down with their cards to gamble through the night and to drink their beer and their whiskey, and I was thoroughly disgusted. I wanted to fish, and they could care less about the fishing. They didn't even go down that for that purpose. I soon learned that. As a matter of fact, one of the friends that used to play in my band, I understand he was down about the river somewhere and caught on fire and burned to death. He was bad about drinking. But I was fortunate. God kept me from whiskey and beer. He kept me from those things and didn't let me drink coming up through my lifetime. And I'm not hard on people that are out in the world. I know good people have one time been drunkards. They've one time been caught in that because they didn't know no better. There's women that's been out there in the world, they didn't know no better. Paul spoke of all of these evil things. He said, such were some of you before you were cleansed, before God saved you. But see, when you got right with God, He took away those things, folks. And you don't go to those things no more. Let me tell you, listen at me. The men that go to the ball game and the men that watch non-virtuous things on TV and read non-virtuous magazine, men and women alike, and that read these things and talk about these things and think about these things, they are of the devil. You say, well, I just run over to see one or two ball games. You are of the devil. You'd have never went over to see one of them had you not been of the devil. You are of the devil. That's why you got... And I'll tell you what, take a man that will do that, a woman that will do that, search them out, and you'll find out they'll do something else outside of go to the ball game. They'll do something else outside of watch the ball game on TV. Search them out. That devil nature will make them do something else, and you'll find something else and something else and something else. And you'll, when you search them out, you'll find out that they ain't got nothing from God. They're just of the devil. He that sinneth is of the devil. So you live holy, you walk right. By this, John said, you can tell the difference between Christians and non-Christians. This is the way you tell the difference. You can tell the difference between them. Is he that is righteous, that hath God nature, he does godly and he does righteousness. He that is not godly, that hath not the God nature, he will do devilish. He will be very worldly. For Satan loves the things of the world. He loves pretty clothes. He loves pretty cars. He loves businesses. He loves prestige. He loves money. He loves ball games. He loves frolics. He loves to go to the things they call the Six Flags and down along the beaches and the racetracks and all the things of the world. He loves those kind of things. He loves to read the love stories in the magazines and keep up with the football score in the newspaper. And he likes to know what's going on in the world, as we say, just getting a little news. I'm just picking up a little news, somebody said. A little news about the ball game and a little news about the worldly frolics and a little news about the races and a little news about Washington. I want you to bow your heads with me. I want to help you, folks. I really do from my heart. I want to tell you the truth. I want to lead you into the right places. Lead you into green pastures. I want to lead you into green pastures. Because you're my children in the Lord. And I want you to be there. Down at the wedding during this time out there at the island, I met a man that's a fire chief over in Lawrenceville somewhere. He's over the fire station there. Brought up in a Baptist church, love the Lord. I talked to him about holiness, and he finally confessed. Mr. Hoyt Thomas, or Reverend Hoyt Thomas's dad, preached about 40 years over Big Gun, I believe. About 70-something years old now. I found out that Uncle's son went to his church before his death. Really something, how it all came about. But he finally confessed, Brother Pike, I've seen him fall out in the shavings. He said, I've seen the police get on to us and try to run us out of town because we're making too much noise under the tent. Baptist preacher. Love the Lord, shouting and praising God. Love the Lord, had something spiritual in the heart. And you know what? Baptist folks, there used to be some Baptist people that had more holiness in their life than some of the Pentecostal people of today.
That's right. They didn't do the things that some of the Pentecostals do today. God ain't going to look for your tag, folks, when it comes to what church you belong to, or whether you've been to Bethlehem, or been to the Methodist, or Baptist, or the Catholic. He's going to look at your heart. And if He finds Christ in your heart, then you've got that hope of glory. And if He doesn't find Christ there, I don't care what your tag is, it won't do you no good. I remember an illustration that Brother Branham gave one time a long time ago. It comes to my mind at this moment. Out west, when they were gathering the cattle in, they caught cattle. He said he remembered they'd bring cattle from all kind of ranches. It could be from the Bar B Ranch or the Bar C Ranch. It could be from any ranch with any brand on it. He said, but when the government come to get the beef, so they didn't pay any attention as to what, whether it was Bar B or Bar C or what ranch it come from. Said they looked for one thing, and that was the little blood tag, I believe, that they had on their ear. Said if they had that blood tag, so that's what counted. Jesus said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. When I see the blood. And I thought about it when He said it. I thought, when I see the blood. When I see the blood. That's what's going to count, folks. If you've got the blood tag tonight, royal blood flowing through your veins, that's what's going to make you. That's what's going to take you in. All the others are going to do you any good. It may be a name that you live, but you're still dead. If you live in trespasses and sin, you're dead. They that live in pleasure. If you love pleasure, the Bible said the last generation would be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. If you love pleasure, then the Bible said you are dead. For they that live in pleasure are dead. If you find pleasure in this world, pleasure in the flesh, Satan savors the things that be of the flesh, then you're dead to God. While you've got your heads bowed, while you're thinking on these things, I'm going to ask Brother Scotty to come up and pray with us. And I want you to think on this. I didn't mean to holler and scream at you tonight, but I just felt a wishy-washy thing among some of you. And that ought not to be, folks. After the many years I've preached to you, you ought not to be wishy-washy. There couldn't be but one reason a person be wishy-washy, and that is that they're not a child of God. That would be the only reason in the world. After all this preaching, that would be the only reason that you would be wishy-washy, is that you're not a child of God. So I'm telling you, don't be wishy-washy. Be firm, be rooted, be grounded in the things I told you. If it's the Bible, say, praise God, I don't care how my flesh feels about it or what I think. It's the Bible, and that's what I'm going to believe, because faith is by the hearing of the Word. And if it ain't Bible, you get together, the group of men and women, and you call Brother Pike and say, Brother Pike, we want you to come here. And put me in the midst of you and say, look, brother, that ain't what the Bible teaches. And you'll help Brother Pike, and you'll help your own soul. One of us has got to be right, folks. All right, Brother Scotty.